John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, page 92, and I read in Jesus' name. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went forth and with the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. And the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping down, looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter therefore also came following him and entered the tomb. And he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb entered then also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own houses. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these eyewitnesses who were there on that first Easter morning. We thank you also that your Holy Spirit inspired the holy apostles to record these truths, not only for themselves, not only for their generation, but also for the generations that follow. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ commanded his apostles and his church in general to proclaim repentance and faith to all the nations, and that this good news is to be proclaimed throughout the world. And we pray that we might be doing that here, that we might be part of that as you work around the world in different locations through the preaching and teaching of your word and the training of evangelism and training of disciples. Lord, we ask your blessing upon us. Help us, Lord, to believe that Jesus Christ indeed has risen. And Lord, help us live with that hope of that assurance of the resurrection of our own bodies through faith in your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There have been people from the very beginning of the time that the Christians have been proclaiming that Christ has been raised from the dead, people that have fought against that and tried to disprove it. Some of the people were guards who were told, if anyone asks you about this detail, tell them that someone stole the body. They were given a bribe to give false information. We know that there was a seal on that tomb. A seal, not that would be impossible to break, but if it was broken, it would be a violation of Roman law and could be very seriously punished. We have people, even up to the current time, who have looked at the resurrection and tried to disprove it. Of course, the main problem they have is, since the beginning of the claims of the resurrection, there's no one been able to prove that here's the dead body of Jesus that is moved to a different location or hidden in some way. A lot of enemies of Jesus would love to have proved that Jesus stayed dead. But there are eyewitnesses. There's evidence. There's the change in Christianity in the apostles. Later in Saul, who became the apostle Paul, who was persecuting the church, and then claims that he met Jesus and became not only a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, but also one of his apostles. As we look at this situation set forth in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, look at it as a crime scene, that we look at the evidence through the eyes of these eyewitnesses. See what we see. Weigh the evidence. And be convinced in the same way that they were convinced that Jesus truly has been raised from the dead. As we look at verses 1 through 10, we are to examine carefully the alleged crime scene and notice that the linen cloths are empty and the rolled up face cloth is neatly set aside. Again, the women who were coming to the tomb in that early morning on that Easter Sunday were coming to anoint his body. They didn't have time to prepare the body properly. They were coming to see their dead Messiah from their perspective. And Mary Magdalene's first thoughts as she sees the stone rolled away is someone stole the body. Because the description of the stone rolled away is not neatly rolled back the way it would have been if you open it up to go in there for some reason. But the stone, the round stone that would be flat on the two sides, was pushed out of the little cradle of where the stone would be seated and then moved over to cover the door. It was laying sideways, as if someone violently opened up that tomb. One of the pieces of evidence that she saw, we see that she arrived on the scene early on Sunday morning. She began her journey when it was still dark, and as she got there, it was just beginning to be light. And it was not Mary Magdalene alone, but other women that went with her, and the other gospel writers will highlight some of the different women that went with. But she saw that the tomb had been taken away or removed. Let me read from one commentator, R.C.H. Lenski. The door of this tomb was closed by a great circular slab of stone rolled into a groove in front of the door, fitting tightly against the face of the cliff into which the tomb had been hewn. Like a wheel, this slab could be rolled to the left in its groove, thus exposing the door. The groove slanted so that the lowest point was in front of the opening of the tomb. Now what the woman saw was not that the circular slab had been wheeled to the left in its groove, but it had been thrown out of its groove, away from the opening, and was lying flat on the ground. Evidence of violence was beyond question. Mary Magdalene went back to report to Peter and to John what she believed had happened. They had taken our Lord's body away. And the verb here is to take away, to steal away, to move it to a different location. They've taken the Lord's body and moved it to another location, and we don't know where it is. She was sad. We read that Simon Peter and John calls himself by the title of the other disciple here. He doesn't call himself by name in all of the Gospel of John, but he describes himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved. They went forth and they were going to the tomb. The idea that they began walking there, and quite possibly they met some of the other women as they were returning from the tomb, and they heard some news that they had a hard time believing. And we see that Peter and John started to run. They were running toward the tomb. John, being younger, also obviously from the story here, being faster, arrived at the tomb more quickly than Peter, but he didn't dare go in. He looked in, but he didn't enter. When Peter arrived, he went in and he saw the linen wrappings that were there. And the idea here is not that they were strewn all over the place, but the wound around the body cloth was lying in its place as if the body evaporated out of that. The linen cloth, the idea that the cloth was still there, like a mummy that you may have seen in a museum or in a picture, but there was nothing inside of it, but wrapped neatly. If grave robbers would have come, they would have either stolen the body and unwrapped it elsewhere, or they wouldn't have rewrapped it and put it nice and neatly. And then the head cloth that went over the face and the back of the head was also rolled up, set aside neatly. Again, signs that that wasn't a normal grave robbery that would have occurred in that situation. Verse 8, we read that John entered the tomb. We read that he saw and he believed. And one commentator said, sometimes we're hard on Thomas because he didn't believe that Jesus had been raised until he saw Jesus with his own eyes. But we have here John, Jesus' apostle, his disciple, who admitted that he didn't believe until he saw with his own eyes. He saw the evidence and then drew that conclusion that he must have been raised from the dead. He did have, as well as the other apostles, as well as the Jewish leaders, he had the Old Testament scriptures that pointed ahead and predicted that the Messiah would not only suffer and die, but he would be raised again on the third day. And John records in verse 9 and 10, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. They went home uncertain, confused. John said he believed based on the evidence. But they were still waiting. They were still trying to figure out and sort out what had happened in the situation. As we look at verses 11 through 18, listen intently to the eyewitness testimony of Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' disciples. And just as a footnote, some people want to make Mary one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a disciple, but she wasn't chosen as one of his apostles. But we see that she was outside the tomb and she was weeping. And this description of weeping would be loud lamenting. She was crying with all of her might and she was crying very loudly. Tears would have been flowing from her eyes. And we see later that she didn't recognize Jesus. And understandably so. As she was weeping there, we read that she stooped and she looked in the tomb and she saw two angels, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord." The same idea. They've stolen his body and I do not know where they laid him. Earlier she said, including the other women, "We do not know where they laid him." Here she was interacting with the angels alone. She said, "I don't know where they've laid him." She didn't expect that her Savior had been raised from the dead. She wasn't anticipating that. In fact, she was grieving that he hadn't been, that his body was stolen, that she would never see him again from her perspective. One commentator explained that the angels were seated where Jesus' body had been lying because if they were standing, the idea would be that they were ready to act or possibly ready to leave. Quietly, peacefully they sit, for indeed the tomb has been both a holy and a blessed place. Though it is the house of death, no death had been here. No odor of death had clung here. Those linen bands spoke of the death, but of a death destroyed and overcome, and thus of life and immortality brought to light. This house intended for death was the very portal of heaven. Angels indeed belonging in the tomb. Little had Joseph thought what kind of tomb he had the workmen hewn out for him. It is John who tells us that the two angels were present. The linen bands and the headcloth were the two earthly witnesses, and these two angels, the two heavenly witnesses, to attest the Lord's resurrection to men. Heaven and earth unite in the tomb of Jesus. Looking at verses 14 and 15, we see that Mary Magdalene was weeping and wailing loudly. Again, the same idea, weeping and wailing loudly because she believed that the gardener had moved him. A different verb here, using it and respectful toward the gardener, but believing that possibly he had moved the body to a different location, maybe a safer location. But she didn't know where to find it. Again, that second part is the same. She turned, she saw Jesus standing there, but didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" The same question the angels asked of her. And then he added, "Whom are you seeking?" And of course, he knew that question, just like when the second person of the Trinity appeared to Adam and Eve in the garden and said, "Adam, where are you?" It's not that God didn't know where Adam was. But God was giving a chance, and Jesus here was giving a chance for that grief, that seeking to be verbalized. She said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away," and again, the idea is not the same as stealing the body away, but the implication is moving him to a better location. "If you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And then we saw that Mary Magdalene, who was weeping so loudly, so violently, grieved so deeply because her Savior had been stolen away, the body had been stolen away, and she didn't know where it was. She saw Jesus. She heard his voice. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said in Hebrew or Jewish Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. She heard her name, Miriam, by Jesus, and she knew who it was. She didn't expect it, but she was convinced instantaneously. And the implication is she clung to his feet. Because he said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Earlier, Jesus called his disciples brethren. Here he calls them brethren. Before, he said that they were friends. Not only disciples, but a permanent relationship began in a very special way. Jesus interacted with his disciples in a different way from this point on as well. Remember in the book of Revelation when John saw Jesus, John who during the Lord's Supper was leaning on the Lord and asking him questions. And in the book of Revelation when John saw Jesus in his glorified state, he fell on his face terrified. Jesus said to John, do not fear. Same thing that the angel said to the women and to the other disciples. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said certain things to her. She reported that to the apostles. She proclaimed what she had seen, what she had heard, and what Jesus had said to her. And those disciples went back to the tomb, saw the evidence again, and they became convinced. And Peter, who shortly before Jesus' crucifixion denied Jesus 3 times. I don't know the man. I'm not one of his followers. And the 3rd time, calling down curses upon himself. May I be damned if I know Jesus. Then he heard the rooster crow 3 times, just as Jesus had predicted. He said, before the rooster crows 3 times, you will deny me. And Peter boldly said, no, even if all deny you, I will not have to die. I will not deny you, even if I have to die. And a little servant girl said, hey, aren't you one of his followers? And he's afraid. Peter, who was fearful of being associated with Jesus, shortly after these events, on the day of Pentecost, got up boldly and proclaimed, this Jesus whom you have crucified, God has raised from the dead. God appointed him for this purpose. And he proclaimed repentance, called people to turn from their sins, to trust in Christ, the risen Christ, and be forgiven for their sins. Christianity is a religion like no other religion. We have a Savior who died for its followers, his followers. But also we have a Savior who was raised up from the dead. So that we can know for certain that what he promised he would do, he in fact has done. When he cried out on the cross, it is finished. Indeed, it was finished. The debt was paid in full. And by trusting in Christ, we can know that our sins are forgiven, that we have peace with God, that we have a home in heaven, and we can share that good news with those around us. Mary Magdalene, the other women, the apostles and many disciples saw Jesus over the next 40 days alive. They ate with him. They touched him. Doubting Thomas is the way we describe him many times. He said, I won't believe that he's been raised until I touch where the nails went in his palm or in his wrist and in his side. But when he saw Jesus, he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus accepted that praise from Thomas. Because it was true. He is the Lord. He is God. The second person of the Trinity. Alive forevermore. And we confess, as we confess this morning, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. He calls us all to repent. To turn from our sins. To trust in him. To be forgiven. And to be adopted into his family. What a beautiful day to celebrate that gracious invitation. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.